Hello, everybody. Welcome to your weekly lesson. Lessons from the Dojang for January 13th, 2019. I am your co-host, Master Patsy Zarella, and with me, as always, your other co-host, my friend and instructor, Master Grant Miller. How you doing, sir?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic.
Hey, we've got this timing down on this song. That I actually, when by the time you get to me, I'm actually at the right point to hit that last note. So
So as long as I don't stutter, we're in good shape. We got our timing now.
That's right. You can't stutter. No
question. we will have Frank Natel joining us here momentarily. Apparently he's having a couple issues with our connection or whatever. How was your week this past week, sir?
It was a good week, work-wise. I had a serious work kerfuffle that made me, I actually threw up. That's how bad it was.
Oh my.
But it all worked out, so I'm happy, and the rest of the week went really good. So, so the starting of the week was bad. Ended up going really well. So how about yours?
It was really good. I got my final labs back from, the problems I've been having, which came back perfect. I'm back in the normal, which was good. And then, we had actually two active shooter trainings, one Saturday and then one Wednesday and then one yesterday. And we had probably 20 some people average at each one. And the people who attended were really, they really interacted really well. They asked really good questions. They participated a whole lot. And it was fantastic. It was a great, great two seminars.
Awesome. Hey, let me ask. Next week, okay, I know you had no warning about this, so we see your face. This is 100% real. So coming up on Friday, I'll be there at the dojo, Dojang, on Friday. And would you like on Saturday at the Dojang to actually do some practice, you and me, but also film our show on Saturday live from the Dojang?
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good idea. Maybe we should. But yeah, I actually have a tripod and everything that we could set the cameras up with, and let's do it.
Good.
I think that's a great idea.
All right. Excellent. So yeah, I'm sorry to just bring that on you. It just came to me. So may I ask what beer you're drinking today?
To this week, I went back to one of my old favorites, the old Leinenkugel Snowdrift Vanilla Porter, which, like I said, is just fantastic. It's just a really, really, really good beer. And apparently I'm on a kick with it, right? And eventually I'll go back to Guinness. I actually had Guinness yesterday. My wife and I went out for lunch, and I had a Guinness yesterday. And, that'll hold me over I got my fix for a little bit. But this Leinenkugel's is just fantastic. It's 6%, so it's not killer, but it'll get you going a little bit. And if you like porters, you're gonna love this beer. Nice. What are you drinking?
But what did you do with the rest of the bush?
It's still in the fridge. It's probably gonna be there as long as the fridge is still alive.
It burns with age. I thought you were gonna pour it down the sink.
No. You can't get rid of it. But you know what? I'll have somebody at one point. Somebody will have to come over to the house and help me fix something. I'll pay him off with that.
So. Yeah, maybe Frank, because Frank he likes Bush.
There you go. Yeah, Frank will do it.
So
the Corona.
Corona Extra. So it's my it's my favorite, my go-to. And I just needed it today. I was going to break out a new one, but I just thought, no, I need something. I need another reliable. So.
Yep. It's, people have comfort foods, right? And they don't want to hear it, but you have comfort beers too. I mean, it's one thing if you're an alcoholic and you just grab whatever you, you know, whatever you can get your hands on, but
like a bush.
I'll tell you a story real quick. I know we got to get moving, but this past Friday, one of the guys that I work with asked me to stop over because he's putting in my I got a front drive shaft in my Jeep that needs replaced, and we Nick and I went, and we get there and we're in his garage, and he's like the full blown mechanic, right? I mean, the lift and everything, this guy he's unbelievable. And he had a little mini fridge up on the shelf, and he opened that mini fridge, and I'm telling you, there had to be 40 cans of Busch. I was like, oh my God. But you know, what are you gonna do? You know, it's just how it is.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. It was like Frank said on one of the shows that the Busch is just like you know, his dad's beer.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's pretty funny. It would have been even funnier if we would have had it stocked with Busch and Rolling Rock. Then you could
You know what? One day we're gonna have to do. You know, like next week you want to do the show live from the Dojang. I think one day we should just you and I just go out like a day or so before the next episode, and just buy a six pack or two each of maybe the worst or the cheapest beers we can find, and then just try them out on air, and you know, see if we don't, you know, die first before it's over or something.
And let's do it. Rolling Rock is one. Rolling Rock and Busch.
Okay, you know, just find, you know, just look at it, be, you know, one of those things that are like $6 a case or something like that, you know, where you'd have to sign a waiver in order to drink it because it'll kill you if you don't. And then, you know, go from there.
Okay.
Let's play. You want to do it one day?
Yes. Yeah. Let's do it a week or two from now. So we'll make a special announcement to everybody so they can hear.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Anyway, before we go, just for our listeners and our viewers who don't know what Rolling Rock is, I know everybody knows what Busch is, but maybe if you're not from Pittsburgh, you don't know, or Latrobe, you don't know what Rolling Rock is. So it's a Western Pennsylvania beer, and they brew it from the waters of the Ohio River, I think. It tastes like you're drinking river water.
Yeah, when they say it's the Ohio River, it tastes whatever you can imagine the Ohio River tasting like. That's it. That's what that beer tastes like.
But it packs a punch, because that one day I drank it during the show. I mean, by the end of the show, I was like, whoa! I only drank like half of it, so it does pack a punch.
Well, it wants to hurry up and get in your system, so it can hurry up and get out of your system. You know. Today I was fortunate enough, and it's very rare over the last 4 or 5 years that I've actually been able to say it. I was fortunate enough today to watch the Manchester United Tottenham hosted Manchester United. I don't know if you've been paying attention to United after they fired Mourinho, because let's face it, half of the sideshow comedy's gone whenever you fire Mourinho. But Solskjaer has been taking over. Gunnar Solskjaer, who used to play for United way back when Ferguson was still young, when Sir Alex was still young. And they are, you know, he's the first manager now, as of today, the first manager now to be undefeated through United's first six games. And they went to Wembley today and played against a really, really good Tottenham side and ended up with a 1-0 win. And they just look amazing. I mean, offensively, through two-thirds of the pitch, they look like they can play with anybody. It's very obvious that they need center backs, because De Gea had to make some insane saves that good teams don't usually rely on a goaltender to make. But they just look really, really good right now, playing with a lot of fun, a lot of confidence. Just a tremendous turnaround from Mourinho.
So yeah, I have been following them, and you know, it's been exciting. Now I missed that game, unfortunately. I wasn't able to watch it. What was it on today? This morning or yesterday?
Yeah, it was I think it was 11:30 start. You know, 11:30 here.
Yeah, I was working this morning. I actually worked all the way up through to Showtime, actually. But so I missed it. But I know that they've been playing with a lot because of the games I have seen. They are just playing free. They were so, like with Marino, and I like him. I mean, Josie, he's a great coach. He's done a lot of great things. But he's also very my way or the highway type of attitude, and doesn't work well with. So works well with some teams, not work well with others, and it didn't really mesh with United. Now he did pull them out of the terrible slump they were in when he first came on board after taking over from the Dutch manager, but they really never gained any traction. There was an initial push, but then he just things just kind of fell apart. He lost the control of the players, but now, I mean, the players are just playing with like so much passion and ease, and then it's so much fun to watch them play. It's the Manchester United of old.
Yeah, it really is. You watch them play, and it's just like watching it was like watching Ferguson sides play, the way they attack, the way they flow. Ferguson had better defenses, but you know, like I said, there's still a big transfer window yet. So hopefully they just get a decent center back, and you know, they should do just fine. But
Solskjaer inherited this stuff, so it's like what he's done is amazing. I mean, I know they probably won't, but they should offer him a contract because he is Sir Alex's disciple. Anyway, I think it really responded well under him. So I would like to see it continue.
Yeah, I would too. You know, this game was a telling game because they basically had cakewalks through the first five. And, you know, this was going to be a challenge for them. And everybody was really curious to see how they were going to kind of perform against a really good side. And, you know, that this game very easily could have, even if the score was reversed and they ended up losing 1-0, I would have thought the same thing. It was just a tremendous performance by them. A draw probably would have been a fair score. But I'll take the win. You know, I'm a United supporter to an extent. You know, I'm more of a Barca supporter. And speaking of Barca, you realize the GOAT scored his 400th today, right? I just wanted to get that.
Yeah, I know. Congratulations to him. Good stuff.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that in. Just in case you weren't paying attention. I know, you know, it's spam.
Hey, but let's go to, first of all, the other big news was the NCAA National Championship occurred on Monday. And Clemson just crushed my team, Alabama. So the tide was rolled over. You know, part of it, I feel, watching the game, second half, they were outcoached, plain and simple. They did not respond in the second half like they should have. And good for Clemson. I mean, they deserved it. They won that game flat out, and happy for them. They were the better team. So did you see the game, or –
I watched the first half and had every intention of watching the second half. I actually even stayed on the couch. Unfortunately, I lost consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like it was self-induced. It was just, boy, it was a long day. And I was really comfortable. And I ended up falling asleep and then waking up somewhere around, I don't know, 2:30 or so. And just, like, I can't believe I fell asleep, you know, because I really wanted to I think we said last week, I really thought that this was going to be a one-sided game, but it was not the way I thought. I really thought that that Clemson was shouldn't even been on the same field with them. So, you know, so much of the football that I follow, I guess, huh? Because I couldn't have been more wrong if I tried. But for good first half, though, man, what a good first half.
And Notre Dame, you know, having lost to Clemson, although you know, they didn't look like they were, but now you see just how good Clemson is. So that Notre Dame team has nothing to be ashamed of. That Clemson team's a monster this year. They just steamrolled over everybody. So, and we got some NFL playoff games going on. I don't know if you see any of these, but last night, Kansas City, mauled Indianapolis, the Colts.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah, I thought that honestly, I thought Indy was a pretty good side. To go to Kansas City and get that win would have been hard, but I didn't think KC was as good as they showed that they are yesterday, because that was a good Indy side that they beat. That was really a good side they beat.
Yeah.
And what was that NFC game yesterday?
Oh, it was your Cowboys. Your Cowboys lost.
Not my Cowboys.
They lost to the LA Rams. Rams, especially after the first quarter, Rams just took over, and we didn't look back. I have a neighbor who's obviously, he was a Cowboys fan, and in the fourth quarter, I went and took the dog out for a pee, and I heard him. Come on, boys! You're terrible. he wasn't having a good night. And then today, my hero Tom Brady is right now in second, leading the Chargers 28-7.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think the Chargers had much of a chance against it. They were that Cinderella, right? They were the side that it was like, okay, you won your first game in the playoffs, and now you're done. You're not gonna go any further. It didn't matter who they were playing the second game, but you know, the second round, they weren't going to do much. But I mean, again, it's January. It's Brady. What are you going to do? You know, this guy just wins. He is, he is the Messi of the NFL.
Oh, there's people I know who would want to hear that. hear this, because they'll lose their minds.
I will neither confirm nor deny that a lot of that was intentional. And hopefully, you know, at least the one person that we're both thinking of here watches this, and he starts throwing things at his monitor or you know, radio or whatever, however he's either watching or listening to us.
You know, he called me on Tuesday night. And do you know how he started the conversation?
I can only imagine.
Just was laughing. He just was laughing. I'm like, okay, come on. Go ahead, say it. he hates Alabama, and he was so happy they lost. So, what's going on in the news? Did we have any news this week? Like late in the week, anything happen? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. So.
You weren't, you know what? You've done better. You've done better, but I thank you for the effort. Okay. That was kind. Looks like our president's had a hell of a weekend, and you know, it's still early Sunday. On Friday, the New York Times, and you know, I'm reading this, the New York Times, and you know, when you get our age, you got to read these things, right? Because there's no way in hell you can remember everything. The Times reported that whenever our brain president decided to fire Comey, which, you know, and let's backtrack. Anybody who had half a brain, at least a half a brain, because at the time he still had attorneys in his cabinet or around him that were actually knew what they were talking about. And you knew this because Giuliani couldn't get a seat at the table, right? Whenever he fired Comey, it triggered a counterintelligence investigation as to whether the president was working to advance Russia's interest. Okay. So that tells you a lot. And then on Saturday, the Post reported that Trump personally intervened to hide various readouts of meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin, including the one-on-one meeting the two leaders had in Helsinki, Finland over the summer. The Post reported that Trump went to extraordinary lengths, quote unquote, extraordinary lengths to keep the conversations with Putin under wraps, with current and former U.S. officials telling them that Trump went as far as confiscating notes from his interpreter and barring anybody from discussing what had happened. It's very rare for me to use this word, but that's extraordinary. That both things are absolutely extraordinary, and for different reasons. The first one, the firing of Comey, I thought was extraordinary in the fact that the FBI and everybody, it grabbed their attention, and he was warned, don't do this, because it's going to grab the wrong people's attention, and his, you know, in his view, the wrong people's intentions. And he decided to do it anyhow. So, you know, he had that one coming. But the idea that he confiscated and hid the notes, that's unbelievable. I get the feeling that now that you have Democrats in power in the House, that this interpreter is going to be sitting in front of Congress, at least in front of the House, and answering a lot of questions.
Oh, there's no doubt, no question. You know, it's the acts of a guilty man. You don't do those things if you don't think that there's trouble. You know, most of the time, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, right? And if you as these things happen, for good, right or wrong, good or bad, it happens. I mean, that's just like my situation this week. Something bad happened, not because I intended it to or I was doing anything wrong, but it was just not a good situation that happened. And so I didn't hide from it, and I didn't deny it. And, you know, I said what happened. And it was, you know, nothing malicious, or there was no intent of doing something wrong. And so I had nothing to hide from it. And I was good. You know, I was ready to accept the consequences, be what they may. It all ended up working out fine because everybody understood this was not done with the, you know, thought of malice. But when we look at somebody who's guilty, what do? They start scrambling, picking up pieces, hiding things, covering up tracks. That's a sign of a guilty person. And then not talking about it, trying to bury it, not admitting to it. Again, all signs of somebody who's done something very wrong. And he has not, it's nothing short of treason what he has done. You know, he is, it's treason. I don't know if you like that word or not, but I can't think of anything else. He went with one of our biggest competitors, biggest foes, biggest enemies, and collaborated with them, you know, and all because of hatred that he has for a certain lady who was running against him, and plus his own business interests. He wanted to open up the Trump Hotel in Moscow or something, or somewhere. He had his own private interests that he was trying to get to and get at. So, I don't know. I mean, would you go that far to say?
Yeah, you know, to say that somebody at one time said that most people who commit treason do it with the best intentions. You know, they don't realize that they're being treasonous whenever they're doing the acts that they do. Benedict Arnold is a good one that comes to mind, right? But there have been others. I don't see that happening in this case, however, simply because from the moment that this guy came into the spotlight, he has never once had any indication or gave anybody any indication that anything he did was for the people or for the country or for anything. Everything he has ever done, at least since he's been a candidate, has been for himself and to further himself and his ideals and his desires. The wall is a perfect example of this, right? This stupid ass fucking wall that we're, you know, people are going to lose their homes over because this clown has this idea of a wall. He hasn't done anything to show anybody that he cares about his country or his, or, you know, us as people. It doesn't matter. So treasonous, I don't think is a bad word. I don't think it's off the mark. I also agree with you that if I have nothing to hide, and I know, you know, you say this all the time, and maybe I don't mean you personally, but I mean, you know, you hear that all the time. And I'm not one to fall for or get in that train of thought, but people normally want to be on the up and up. And if I am doing something proper and I have a spotlight on me, which as a president, you have the spotlight on you, you're going to want to show that you're doing something proper. You're going to want to show, hey, look, this is what I'm doing for you. Because at the end of the day, right, whenever you were elected, you were hired. You know, the people hired you. So I would never not show my boss that I'm doing something proper and good. And I wouldn't hide that from him. The idea that he's trying to hide these things from us has a very bad smell to it. A very, very, very bad smell. You know, and I don't buy the excuses that he's giving, and I'm completely exhausted with talking heads who are coming to his defense and continuing to lie and to try to explain bad behavior away. You're not doing your country or your party any good whenever you start acting this way. Okay. You know, there's an old saying, another old saying that, you know, the difference between Republicans and Democrats is Republicans fall in line and Democrats wait to fall in love. Right. And this, it's the truth, right? You look at all of these folks, and the only Republicans who are publicly going against them are ones that weren't going to get reelected anyhow. So these folks are continuing to allow him to act this way and normalize what should not be normalized. And whenever you continue to normalize behavior like this, it makes things like what he's doing now, or what he, you know, we found out that he's doing, seem less than what it is. It's a big deal that you had a meeting with your biggest adversary, with, for all intents and purposes, your biggest enemy, and you destroyed all of the evidence of that meeting. That's, I'll go back to what I said before. That's extraordinary.
Yeah. And then you get people who go on rants about Obama, and he never did anything like this. You know, for all that you want, all the negative things you want to say about the President Obama, he never did anything close to what we are seeing now with the current president. You know, I get it. If somebody wasn't happy with President Obama and his policies and things, I get it. And, you know, you can't make everybody happy, but he never, never went this far as treasonous acts. You know, we've got this investigation going on with Mueller about the campaign hijacking. Now we've got him making secret meetings and tearing up the notes from them and hiding them. You know, I extraordinary is a great word. It is beyond a doubt. How could you not go to jail for this? Somebody's going to go to jail. Somebody has to go to jail.
Oh, it'll be somebody far lower on the food chain. It will. You know, somebody's going to end up taking the hit for this, and it's not going to be him. I'll be honest. I'm kind of hoping it's his mouthy little, you know, asshole son that ends up taking a rap for it. But I can't get that lucky.
Was he in trouble already with something else?
Oh yeah, y'all know he's got a list going. His list is almost as long as his father's, though. You can tell he's the junior, right? He hasn't quite matched up to his father's level of treason yet. But give him time; he's young. He'll get there. Hey, you know what? Being smart, snarky is part of the job, right? The news that came out Friday about the FBI looking at Trump firing Comey and the repercussions that had, you know, there were people who were in the FBI, previously and were retired or whatever, whenever this whole thing went down, who said flat out, this just drew a whole lot of attention to something that he should have known better than to do. You know, basically, you went after one of their own. And you went after one of their own who, let's face it, was very well respected in their community and very well liked. And you did it while he was addressing his subordinates. You know, if you remember right, he was, wasn't a speech or something, but there was a meeting. He was actually behind a podium whenever somebody looked at their phone and said, "Oh my God, you've just been fired." So not only did you fire somebody that these folks had a whole ton of respect for and liked a whole lot, but you were amazingly disrespectful when you did it. It's going to have consequences. And I refuse to believe that a lot of the attention that he got and is still getting from that firing is simply because you went after one of them in the most ignorant way possible. They're going to come back after you. They're going to continue to look for you. And I don't feel bad for him at all. You know, he could have talked to any one of us. We're not the only two martial artists in this country. He could have talked to any of us and said, "You do not disrespect people." You know, I mean, he tries to be the mobster. Even the mob tells you you can't disrespect people. That firing is going to come back and haunt him in spades. I promise it is.
Especially since Comey was the one who, you know, what, 5 days before the election, reopened the email server case. Remember?
Yeah.
Against Hillary.
And yeah, I mean, he handed him the election.
Yeah, that sunk her ship doing that. So he was a big factor in Trump's winning. And, you know, had he just let Comey go, I think this all would have just been brushed under the table.
And then he gets on national television and lies about why he did it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Was there another component to this that you wanted to talk about?
Well, you know, we continue to see this behavior over and over and over. And I remember, and you know, it had to be pretty big because my memory is not what it used to be. All the Republicans saying, "Well, he's new at this, right? Give him time. He doesn't understand how politics work. He doesn't understand how government works," which I thought was a crock of shit, because why are you making excuses for somebody you just hired? But you can't really make these excuses now. This guy knows what he's doing, okay? He may not understand, or more likely, he may not care what the repercussions are, because he's never had to care about things like that. But he knows there's repercussions. He just doesn't care what he's doing. And he doesn't have the ability to recognize the consequences to his actions. And you cannot govern this way. And worse, you cannot, enable somebody to continue to govern this way. And it's not a good thing to do. And like I said before, you know, and you and I have said this, I can't even imagine the number of times. Your behavior is everything, right? Your behavior is a reflection of your character. How do you continue to behave this way? And more importantly, how do people continue to accept this behavior or try to explain it away? I mean,
okay, so first, this character issue. You can't have character if you've never had to earn anything or work for anything. You know, in the martial arts, you work towards your yellow belt. You get a set of goals, you work towards it, you achieve it. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you don't pass the test, but then you go back and you keep working until you do. You know, the studies have shown that people, especially like the children of successful people. So you get somebody who creates a company and they become somewhat successful with that company, and then they hand it off to a son or a daughter. That son or daughter generally fails. That company usually goes under their leadership, because they don't have the experience that the parents had, who had to build from scratch and chip away and work and build everything up. When you're just handed something, you don't have that. So it's the same thing in martial arts. If I were to hand you a blue belt or black belt, right, you're not going to have the same character that somebody who spent 4 years or more earning their black belt, right? You don't have it. It's a void. You can see people who've taken the easy way out, make even like in martial arts, who get, you know, promoted too quickly, or even back into business, people who've been handed companies or handed, you know, positions only because of their name or what they, you know, and they don't earn it. You get a huge character void there because they never had to deal with it. And so you do things like what we see with the current gentleman who's their president. He is atypical. No, that's not right. He is typical of people that are given things. And he asked me, I, for the life of me, I can't understand how is it that people will like, what he has and what he's done and actually give that credit by saying, well, you know, he's a successful businessman and he worked his way up. And no. He's given something like $10 million from his father to start. And he kind of blew it all too, you know. He is not a good businessman. Now, of course, his TV show, The Apprentice, that was successful. But you know, the TV show isn't the same as building a business with your hands and learning all the ins and outs and ups and downs and going through the situations where you're spitting up in the toilet because of something that's terrible, you know, that happened. If you don't go through that type of stuff, you don't have that basic character. Now, that's just my opinion. Now, as far as these people who are standing up and supporting him, especially government officials, I think that they're in a catch-22, damned if you do, damned if you don't. They don't have any other choice. Rank and file, you know, like you said, with the Republican Party, they have to follow. This is the man that they put in, and they have to stand in line and follow him, sink or swim. I mean, they're just going to, you know, the Trump ship goes crashing down, they're going to go crashing down with it. I don't believe that that's a good way to be a politician. You know, if all you're going to do is just be a number that can be counted on for your yes vote or no vote, whichever Mitch McConnell tells you which way, how is that being a good politician who's standing up for his constituents? No, you're just standing up for the party that gave you a bunch of money to get you elected, and get you into office, you know, and now you're just a yes man or a yes woman. I don't want a politician like that. I want a politician who's going to go in and it's like, you know, like my constituency first, my party second, instead of the other way around.
Yeah, you kind of saw that a little bit with, why is her name escaping me? The one from Alaska, the senator, who, whenever this whole wall thing kind of started picking up momentum and people started losing money, you know, not getting paid, she broke away from this whole from the Republican thing right away, and her reason for doing so is because she said her state comes first. Yeah. You know, that's was it Susan Collins? Is that who I'm thinking? Is she the one? No, she's not. Well,
I want to talk about the wall, but not right this second, because I want to come back to it. But I would like to talk about the wall. But before we do, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. That's okay. Okay, before we do.
You want to talk about Harris?
Yeah, I actually did. I wanted to see, and again, this happened this week. You know, our timing is really good as far as, you know, it's about time a Sunday kind of, well, things happen later in the week that we can talk about it on a Sunday and not have to try to leapfrog things. In case anybody has any doubts, she will be running for president. You know, she hasn't announced it yet, but she got the playbook out from, you know, she got Obama's playbook out. She's on a book tour now promoting the book. She's talking about this and that. And I saw the clip of her on Morning Joe, I think it was. I don't watch Morning Joe. I can't stand Morning Joe. But, you know, YouTube's wonderful. They had her segment on there. And then she was, I wanted to say, on The Late Show or Colbert's or something. And I saw her on that. And, you know, I was following her during just about every one of the Senate hearings there was, especially, you know, her how she handled Brett Kavanaugh, which I thought was, this was somebody who is definitely knows what they're talking about. And I got to tell you, I think she's the real deal. I think if the Democrats have a shot at winning, well, I think their best choice, if they're going to hit the home run, because they could probably win this game with a single, right? But I think if they're going to hit the home run, I think she's the one they want up at bat, because I don't know if you've been paying attention to her, listened to her or anything, but wow, if I had to vote right now, and she hasn't even committed yet, but she's going to, she just hasn't done it yet. She's keeping everybody in suspense. She's my choice. Pay attention to her. If you haven't, pay attention to her, because she's gonna be a force to be reckoned with. It's a good thing she's in the Senate, not the House. Have you been paying attention to her? Have you seen anything or heard anything she's done yet?
Well, she's the senator. I don't know if she's replacing Barbara Boxer, right, from California. Is replaced or replacing?
Replaced. She's been in for a couple of years anyhow. It might be longer. I really haven't looked. But she had to have been in for a little bit, because she's on a couple of committees. So she had to have served for a little while.
Yeah. So, you know, she was an attorney general of some sort in the past. Really intelligent woman. And you're saying now that she said she was going to run for president, or she is, or you're thinking she's planning to, or
I at this point I would be willing to bet obscene amounts of money that I don't even have, in saying that yes, she will be running. She's done everything up to saying she's going to, and then she said, well, I'll have to let you know, one of those type things. So between you, me, and everybody listening now, she's running. She's definitely going to be running. And, wow, look out whenever she does, because she's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, I just was looking on her profile real quick. You know, she went to Montreal and lived in Canada for a while. So I'm sure there's going to be birthers.
Well, that's okay. We hired a Kenyan, so, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know that much about her to say that I would vote for her. I am definitely going to have to do some research, look into her. I mean, she looks very impressive, very impressive. And it's the type of person that you would want to be, you know, head of the government. Somebody who's intelligent.
Somebody who actually has a degree and not an honorary one.
Yeah, has a real degree. So what is it she's done that's particularly piqued your interest?
Everything that she has done, let's say in the last week. Now I will admit, I don't want to say I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but of everybody I've seen so far who they've even talked about running, including Biden, by the way, she really doesn't duck things. You know, that was one of the things about Biden I really like. She's straight to the point. She's very Obama-like with the way she answers things. Okay, and that doesn't do her justice. If you haven't heard her, get on YouTube and look for that Morning Joe segment with her on it. I think it was either Friday or Thursday. I can't remember which one. It's about 15 or 20 minutes long, so it goes on for a little bit. Just watch her, not only what she says, so don't just do the audio, but actually watch her, because body language is really important. And, you know, just curious and then decide, you know, yeah, tell me what you think, because I think you're going to be impressed with her. I really do. She's, I don't know if she actually has like that it factor, you know, like Obama had, but she's somebody that you want to keep an eye on. Let's put it that way. You really want to keep an eye on her because she's going to make waves.
Good. Good. Yeah, she did say that she was going to announce if she was going to run for president after the holidays, these holidays. So she should be making this announcement soon.
Yeah, I would think so. Probably, maybe in the next few days, maybe in the next week or two. But I would be surprised if we go past the end of the month, you know, without hearing that she's running. Speaking of folks running, I wanted to throw this at you, and I thought it comical. Elizabeth Warren ran, right? Or she announced that she's running. And there was two or three others who kind of threw their hat in the ring who decided that they're going to be running too. Now, most of these folks are probably going to end up, you know, just falling off to the wayside of something. Oh, what's his name is I can't remember. He was in Obama's cabinet for a while. Well, anyhow, I think he just announced it yesterday or today or something like that. If I told you the name, you'd know who it is, but I'm so bad with names. But anyhow, at this point, we probably have, let's say, four or five either confirmed, officially confirmed, or, you know, common knowledge confirmed. And that's, you know, that's just the beginning. I'm probably looking at 15 or 20 people who I think are going to be running as a Democrat, including Bernie, who shouldn't be running as a Democrat because he's not, you know, he's one of my, you know, I'm an independent. He's an independent. He should be running as an independent. I don't care who he caucuses with. You're not a Democrat. Don't act like one. But you see all these people who are running, who are going to run, and you know, our brainiac president has the 12-year-old girl fetish with Twitter, right? How is he going to respond to 20 different people or 15 different people constantly bombarding him and his policies and his name and everything? Is he going to try to tweet at all 15 or 20 of these people? I mean, my God, he'd have to wake up before 10 o'clock to do that and not watch, or, you know, cut his time out from watching Fox and Friends. I'm not sure if he has it in him to do that. You know, that's asking a whole lot from him.
Yeah, well, he's going to declare a state of national emergency, and then there's going to be no elections in 2020 because he's going to be the dictator.
You know, you sound like my wife now.
I don't put it past him. I do not put it past him. This whole thing with the wall, and this is a great segue into the wall, is absolutely ridiculous. The government, these employees are the ones who are suffering that because of his childlike antics, that I don't get my way, that I'm going to hurt everybody. You know, first of all, the wall is, it's impossible to do. It's impossible. You can't do it. Even if we did build this wall, this gate fence wall all the way across the border, somehow miraculously through, you know, declaring eminent domain and all the ranchers, you know, have all these properties of going through, breaking treaties with the Indian tribes and just plowing through their reservations. You have to go like, because of the way the land is, you're going to have to go 15, 20 miles outside, you know, into the United States to because of a geological feature. And so you're going to be giving up all this area that's being used by, you know, all this, the canyons and the mountains and it's all ridiculous. And then let's say we even do it. Okay, we get a wall. You know what's going to happen? We're just going to get people tunneling underneath it.
Yeah, probably. You know, like from an engineering point of view, and I think I said it last week or the week before, I would love to be able to do it. I'd love to be on the engineering team to do it because of the challenges that would be there. And you give me $5.4 billion to do something, holy shit, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. But you're right. It's damn near impossible to do what he's saying, and that what he's hanging his hat on, and it's not feasible, you know. And here's the one part that I don't understand. And this is where, you know, I can't believe that you have folks who don't understand or just refuse logic. Okay, if you have the majority of the problems who are that are coming in from the southern border, and I'm going to make and I'm going to stay flat out. I don't believe the arguments that much, but that's a little out of my wheelhouse. So let me give up the argument that what they're saying about the drugs and the and everything is actually coming from somewhere along the southern border. I'll give you that one. I'll give that one up because, like I said, that's not my area, whether I believe it or not. But there is no question. No one questions the validity of the statement that these things, an overwhelming majority of, and I think it was in the upper 80s or even lower 90% of these things, are coming in through checkpoints, right? Through ports of entry. Well, then it just seems to me that the more points of entry you have, the more this is going to increase. It makes no sense to me that you're going to have this entire wall that's going to stretch from one end to the other, and you're going to have the same number of ports of entry. That you can't do either. Again, it's a physical impossibility, because what are you going to do? Just have 7,000-8,000 miles of wall without anybody manning it? Shit, we'll just cut it. They'll just cut it or dig under it or put a ladder and go over it. So you're going to need people covering it and monitoring it. So you're going to need ports of entry there because, well, people are going to congregate. So you just increase the number of things that are coming in. I guess like simple math, it just drives people crazy. They don't understand it. I don't know.
So engineering wise, it's an impossibility. Number one, engineering wise, you can't do it. It's just not going to work. Logistically, it's not going to work. How are you going to man this thing? You know, how are you going to put ask the Chinese how their wall went.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And the Chinese built a beautiful, beautiful wall.
Yeah, it's an amazing wall, isn't it? I mean, and it's still standing.
But it's just a waste of money, waste of time, waste of effort. But he panders to his base. And when you think about his base, you know, most of these people are, rural, individuals who have never been outside of their county, right? Who have a menial high school education, if they even have that. And you know, for them, when they say build this wall, they're thinking of a gated community in Hilton Head Island, right?
Right.
That's what they think of a wall. It's like, oh, this is going to be easy. We just build this big, beautiful wall, and then everything will be fine. So he caters to that. He panders to that. I wonder to myself, okay, so he does this for one of two reasons. One is because he's so stupid himself that he actually believes it can be done. All right, now I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he believes that. I think what he does is he needs this as a marketing tool. This actually makes more sense to me. It's a great marketing tool for him to rally the troops behind and to get his way. Quite frankly, what really should be done is to beef up the checkpoints. If you want to pump money into something, pump money into that. Beef the checkpoints up, get more manpower in there, make them bigger, make them, you know, that's what we need to do if you're going to spend money on immigration on the border, I'm sorry, on the border wall. Beef up what we have, you know. But I believe he's using this as a marketing ploy. This is what gets his base all riled up. You can't, I go onto Facebook. I know you love Facebook so much, so go onto Facebook and look at the posts that people put, you know, build the damn wall already. I can't believe the Democrats are postponing this wall. We need it. I mean, people believe this with their hearts, that this is a necessity, you know? And when I see that, to me, I think then, okay, well, he's definitely found a hook, and he's got these people hooked. And he is going to reel them in using this. And you know, this is going to spill over into 2020. And this is what he's going to be pumping every day. You know, was it 300 lives are lost a day because of the insecurity at the borders? right? If we build this wall, that's going to go down. We'll save,
And the part that kills me is, again, people don't do math, right? If 300 lives are lost a day, well, how long have these 300 lives been lost for how many days now?
So let's say 30 days in a month, right? So we got what, 9,000 people a month are dying.
Right. And this has been going on apparently since Obama's been president, right?
Which means, okay, so 9,000 people a month. Okay, and I'm just doing it in my head. That's 108,000 people a year are dying. That's the calculations. 108,000 a year.
Right, and we're being extremely generous with the numbers, right? We're not really digging into it. We're just kind of rounding off a little bit. Don't you think somebody would have noticed by now that we lost, 100 and some thousand? No, that's a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's been how many years since Obama's been president? We're going on Trump's third year, correct?
We're talking a million lives have been lost, right?
Right. So right now we're looking at 300,000. Correct?
Just
since Obama's last day.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've lost almost just over a quarter of a million people.
Right. Add in the 8 years of Obama.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're over a million.
Yep. Nobody's noticed this yet.
Where'd they go? So you're right. What happened to them? We've killed off, or over a million people have been killed by the shit that's going on at the southern border. And it's happened in such a way that nobody up until last week, nobody noticed. Holy shit. I mean, that boggles the mind that this could happen and no one knew. No one paid attention. No one just, what happened to Tommy? Well, I don't know. Somebody from the southern border must have killed him. Oh, okay, well, we'll just bury him and won't tell anybody. Who the hell does shit like, who believes this shit?
Fox News.
And those who watch it, apparently.
Yep.
That's scary. And they all have driver's license. Right? That's frightening. That's absolutely frightening. I don't even know where to go with this after this. When you look at the stupidity, and you're right, about the extreme and the jackasses on Facebook. And yeah, I hate Facebook. I've called it the modern day cancer, right? Because it really is. It's something that's everywhere. You don't want it, and eventually it's going to kill you. I cannot believe that people actually. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't believe that people look at this and sit there and say, yeah, damn right, he's right. And I have said all along, and I will continue to say, that our biggest problem and the biggest things that are affecting our country aren't coming in from the southern border. They're coming in from the northern border. And no one will convince me differently. They won't. Those damn Canadians. No, it's not the Canadians that are doing it. But
you know what? We need a wall. No. I know we need a wall to protect Alaska.
There you go.
Canadians are coming into Alaska and we need to build a wall. And since you're able to see Russia from Alaska, we need to build a wall across the Bering Sea as well to keep the Russians out, because they could potentially come over in boats. So we need a wall there, need a wall in Alaska, and then a wall across the Canadian border.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Then we'll be protected.
Yeah, and I really, a floating wall across the Great Lakes. How's that sound? We just put it on barges or something like that, and just, let it stay out there. And if it works, hell, then we know what to do with the South, right? Because we already have it figured out. In fact, it'll be even stronger because it's cold in the North, and the weather changes. So, that expansion and contraction will be all accounted for. Oh, holy shit, this makes all the sense in the world. Let's build a border wall across the northern border and protect Alaska.
Yes. So we got our work cut out.
This is why you're the master. That's why you got this shit figured out.
Have you seen the movie with John Candy, and they infiltrated Canada?
Oh yeah, what the hell was the name of that?
And then they got into Canada and they wrote some graffiti on a wall, like, you know, Canada sucks or something. And then the officer stopped them and said, "What's wrong with this? Oh, we're sorry for doing." "No. Our country has a small but significant minority of people who speak French. And you listen to French." He made him rewrite it in French. It was the funniest thing.
So it wasn't that they wrote it, that they didn't write it in English.
Yeah, they forgot to add the French part.
I've had people instruct seminars and whatnot that I've gone to who, if you look at their videos, you know, because they'll post them, or, you know, as advertising or, you know, things to get you intrigued, who are Canadian, who will explain a technique or something in English and then immediately do it again in French. I've had many of them that actually do that.
Yeah, well, it would open our minds and broaden our intellect if we were all forced to speak a second language to some degree, like Spanish. You know.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, how many do you speak?
I'm fluent, whereas professionally, in Japanese and German. I can speak, in addition to those, I can speak French, Cantonese, English.
The Western PA version of English.
I've got smattering, enough to be communication, basic communication in Spanish, Yiddish, and what else can I flop away in? That's enough.
So conversational, at least.
Yes. Yeah. I can't speak a whole lot, but I can, you know, do some niceties and.
Yeah. Cantonese is impressive. I got American. I got English. I got Italian, and I'm slowly learning Spanish because you cannot watch the greatest soccer player in the history of the world without being able to understand what they're saying in Spanish. So, you know.
Well, but Pirlo hasn't played for a long time.
Yeah, well, it's still, you need both to truly understand it.
You didn't catch what I just said, so.
Oh, yeah, I did. I was like.
Yeah, but like, you know, you grew up with Italian, and, you know, you're fluent in that language, and you're English, and then you're Pittsburghese, and so, you know, you got three languages under your belt, and it opens up your mind in a lot of ways. I mean, not only is it something that's not easy to do, you know, you got to really work at it, but two, then it opens up your mind to how other people think and other cultures, and it really does. It broadens your whole worldwide view. When you're isolated to just one language, then you miss out on all that. It's so.
Yeah, actually, until I went to public school, Italian was actually my first language.
Right.
You know, and then at some point it switched. That I couldn't tell you when it was, but at some point it switched over.
Yeah. So anyway, I think next week, I think as a little, we'll give a little teaser here, when we're having our lesson from the Dojang, I think what we'll do is let's show a couple moves, our favorite moves, and talk about the origin of those moves. How's that sound?
Oh, I think this is going to be fantastic.
Of course, you know what I'm going to do because I do it all the time. So you already know what I'm doing, but I'll be.
I think we got to have flyouts, so there's no point in doing it.
you can't do a flyout. The move's worthless. That's right.
The technique's worthless. You can't do it. Well, sir, let's wrap this thing up for the week. I think we lost people about an hour ago. I'm just kidding. Honest to God, I am.
Frank, by the way, is sick. That's why he wasn't able to make it. We got a message from him that he's in bed. He's very ill. So we hope that he has a speedy recovery, gets better soon. We'll bring him on the show, not next weekend, but weekend after.
Yeah, we'll shoot for 2 weeks. He's for those of you who don't know, Frank Nittel is the host and Everything really in on Butchered Talk or Butchered Sports Talk here on the YouTube channel, and I don't know if he has an audio version or not, but he has YouTube channel and a Twitter handle, so he's on both of those quite a bit. So go ahead and check him out. There you go, Frank. There's a plug for you. Don't say we never did anything for you.
Yeah, okay? But he's also a lawyer, and he's helps us a lot with a lot of the legal a lot of the legal jargon and things that every time he's on, it's eye opening.
Yeah, his insight into a lot of the things that are going on in Trump Nation is phenomenal. Okay, sir, let's call it a day. I will see you Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Right, we'll get together Friday. We'll see how many people we can hurt in class. I mean, how many people we can teach in class. And you and I will get together Saturday. I may or may not have Nick with me. We'll see where it goes. Maybe we can drag a student or two in, or we can just do it ourselves. You know, we'll just do it ourselves. How's that? Okay, sir. Have a good week to everybody.
I would love to see Nick if we could get him.
I will do my best. I want to check and see what his work schedule is. He doesn't go back to school. He doesn't go back to college until the 17th. So we'll see how it goes. But of course, he's not going to have weekend classes. Okay, sir. Thank you, and thank you to everybody watching, as I said, and listening. Your time is very valuable and very important, and the fact that you're willing to share that time with us means a great deal to us. It truly does. We will talk again soon, and we will see you all again next week. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.